Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we get to come around your word. Thank you, Lord, that this is your family. And we thank you for the testimony of what you are doing amongst your family. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together. We thank you for the opportunity to extend your family. And I pray, Lord, in all things, you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. You know, there's two main things that I'm learning in this journey. And it's things that I've already known, but it's interesting, you know, as a Christian, I never want to stop learning. Because I think there's power in rediscovering things. And so one of the things I've rediscovered is we have good news to spread. The gospel is powerful. It's so powerful. It can convert a soul from destruction and bring the life of God into it. It's something I've experienced in my own life. And it's something when you see someone else experience, you realize very quickly the gospel is powerful and it is always relevant. It was relevant 2,000 years ago. It was relevant all throughout church history, and it's relevant today. It can change your life. One person who knew this was the Apostle Paul. And we're going to read 17 verses of the first chapter of Romans. If you have your Bibles, why don't you go there? If not, the words will be on the screen. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request that if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul is writing to a church in Rome that he had never visited until a certain point. At this point, he was writing from Corinth. It was towards the end of his third missionary journey, around AD 56. And he's writing to this church and he's saying to them, I've actually planned to come to you many times. I've been eager to preach the gospel to you many times. See what he does? even though he was hindered up until that point, he spends the next 15 chapters writing to them what the gospel is. He writes to them and shows them that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. He writes to them and shows them that sin and death entered into the world through a man, and therefore redemption and righteousness and salvation had to come through a man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. He writes to them that as Christians, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In the same chapter, he writes that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He spends the first 11 chapters showing them who they are and what Christ has done before he gets to chapter 12 and starts to share with them to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of their mind. He spends time writing to them the gospel. And you know, his hindrance is our benefit, because if he wasn't hindered in going to them, who knows, we might not have had the masterpiece that is the book of Romans. It's powerful. And he knew it. He was eager to preach it. He knew he had a gospel to share, a gospel to spread, so much so that he says this in verses 16 and 17, it bears repeating. He is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. He knew that this gospel, if it is preached and if it is believed, it is the power of God for a person's salvation. It can save a human soul. You know, one of the things that we discovered about Perth, I didn't know this about Perth. Perth has got some of the most incredible beaches in the whole world. Honestly, it's amazing. And one of the beach that's actually closest to our house, is a beach called Coogee. It's spelt the same way as Coogee, but Perthians say Coogee. So we went to Coogee Beach for the first time late last year. And yeah, we were enjoying the water and, you know, in the sun and whatnot. And we got chatting to this one lady who was there with her toddler. And Stace and I began to share the gospel with her. We started sharing about Jesus with her. And she reflected back that she hadn't been to church in years. And she said to us, you know, I've only just been thinking to actually start going back to church. And Stace obviously exchanged details with her, and we stayed in contact until we went to weekly services. She has not missed one service. More than that, her partner, who doesn't usually go to church, came for the first time on Easter Sunday last week. And he came up to me after the service. He said, I don't actually own a Bible. Can I have one? I'm like, absolutely, you can have one. So we had the privilege of giving him his very first Bible. We put into his hand the agent of transformation. It was amazing. And so since moving to Perth, I've always had a compulsion to share my faith with people. It's just the gospel, the good news is too good to hold in. And so I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're in public and just a random stranger starts talking to you and they start talking to you and they start asking you questions. You think, do I actually know you? I had a situation like that. I actually have started teaching fitness classes well in Perth. So I sort of do that on the side. And this particular evening, I have two spin classes back to back. So I have a 5:30 class and then a 6:30 class. And has anybody ever come to my spin classes? Yes, there's a few of you. Yeah, they're good fun, aren't they? Yeah, they're pretty brutal, but they're good fun. Anyway, this one guy, I usually like to go a little bit earlier to change, you know, change out of my office gear and just, you know, clear my head a little bit and get my song list ready. And this one guy comes into the change room and he starts chatting to me like he knew me. And he's like, oh, you know, what are you training today? I said, I'm actually just teaching the spin class and yada, yada. And he just kept chatting and I'm like, I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to ask this guy straight. I looked at him and I said, do you believe in Jesus? It's interesting when you ask that question, you can locate where a person is straight away. I said, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, no. Straight no. Do you want to, and then I asked him, I said, do you want to know more about him? He says, no, not really. And then he walked out. End of conversation. But I didn't let that discourage me because I had a 5:30 class and a 6:30 class. In the 6:30 class, usually only maybe one or two people show up. And so this particular night, one lady showed up. So I'm like, great, I've got a captive audience here. And so we, you know, ran the class and whatnot and got chatting to her after. And I said to her, do you believe in Jesus? Just straight. And she says, no, I got another sort of faith system, but my brother's a Christian. And I said to her, oh, okay. And I asked her, has your brother ever tried to share with you about Jesus? And she said, yeah, he tried once, but I told him that I didn't want to know about it. And I asked her, I said, do you want to know about it now? And she says, sure. So I said, do you know why Jesus came? And she says, no. I go, okay, do you know that Jesus actually died for you and he rose again? She says, no, I had no idea. And I got thinking that we can't assume that people know the gospel. And so I shared with her the gospel in about 3 minutes and got to show her our hz.perth Instagram page. And she started following that page. And then on our way out, she said, can I come to church one day? I said, of course you can. It's always open. People think that because they believe something different, they can't come to church. But I'm telling you, she was like, okay, great, I'm going to come. Fantastic. Good stuff. You know, there was a guy in the local community who used to walk past our building, you know, late last year. You know, our building in Perth has got a sign on it that says, you belong here. And he used to walk past the building day after day, and he used to read that sign. And this guy came to our first weekly services, and he came up to me after the service. He says, you know, I'd walk past that building day after day, and those words, you belong here, just kept jumping at me, And I asked him, I said, well, what's your story? Let's go for coffee. Let's, you know, sit down and share your story with me. He has been saved from one of the most intense pasts. He says, I gave my heart to Jesus about 4 months ago. And I don't know a lot. He says, but I know one thing. He's taken my hard heart and given me a new heart. And he says, I don't know a lot, but I know something's changed on the inside. And so he's been coming week in, week out. He's actually one of the guys that got baptized a couple of weeks ago, which is pretty amazing. But he'll come past the building, you know, because he lives locally. He'll drive past the building. And if he sees my car in the car park, he'll knock on the door and we'll go for coffee and we'll sit down and we'll open up the scriptures. But he's a sponge. He's hungry for the word of God. And so we're seeing it. And it brings me to my second point. The second thing that I'm learning in this journey is Jesus loves his church and he's building it. He's building it. Do you know, one of the things that we were believing God for, it was really real burden on my heart when we moved, was to believe God for kids leaders. Because how many of you know we've got an amazing kids ministry here? Yeah. Pastor Jess and the team do an incredible job. And we really wanted to have that from the start so that it would be a family-friendly place. People can come and bring their kids and their kids can be ministered to. Because how many of you know Jesus said, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And so we'll just believe in God, we'll trust in God. And I actually specifically was saying to God, Lord, I want a married couple to actually start leading the kids ministry. In the second interest service, this couple came, and as soon as I saw them, I'm like, I wonder if they're the ones. You don't want to see people that way, but sometimes you also want to see the gold in people. And so I took him out for coffee that week, and I was sitting with him, and I said, how did you find the service? He says, we're in. We just moved to the area. We're looking for a local church. We loved it. We want to be part of it. He said to me, where can we serve? If you say that to a pastor, look out. They'll hold you to it. But he said, where can we serve? I said, well, what have you done? Where's your heart? He says, well, we've run kids ministry before. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm doing backflips on the inside, trying to stay calm and just really holy and anointed and all that stuff. And I said, but it became very clear and very apparent that they would be the kids leaders for the first few months of Horizon Perth. And it's been amazing. You know, when you've got parents coming up to you saying, my kid loves kids ministry. They're asking me to when are we going to go back to church? Three different families, since it started, have come up and asked that question. And so you think, wow, like that's, look at what the Lord has done. It's incredible. It's actually incredible. Psalm 127 verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You know, church is actually not a building. The building is the shell that houses the people in it. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. Can you say ekklesia? If you're Australian, ecclesia. Ecclesia means called out ones. If you've been called out of death into life, I've got news for you. You're the church. If you've been called out of Adam into Christ, you are a called out one. You're the church. And so we gather into a building as God's people to worship the one who called us out. That's good news. Do you know, a month before we started weekly services, we actually started weekly prayer meetings. And Joan, who is Pastor Allison's mum, she's actually my Perth mum. I tell her that. I'm the ethnic son she never had. But she's just done a phenomenal job gathering intercessors to pray at the building every single week. And honestly, church, every single week, we've had praise reports before a service even started. And, you know, Stace on this journey has only been getting bigger in her tummy. Be very careful how I said that. The baby's growing. And so every week she leads worship, it's getting harder. She's got to stand for long periods of time. So I got to a couple of weeks ago, and I said to Joan and the intercessors, guys, we really need to pray and believe God for a worship leader and a keys player, because she was playing keys as well. Multi-talented, I'm telling you, very good, very good. But it was real. Like so we really needed to believe God. And so I sent to the intercessors, we need to pray and believe God. And I tell you one thing about the intercessors, particularly in Perth, I don't know what you're like here. They're loud. So Pastor Brad and I are on the other side of the building. We can hear them with the doors closed, the auditorium doors and our office doors. But they went for it and they prayed. The very next Sunday after the service, I had two different ladies who'd been visiting the church with their husbands and their families. And they'd been visiting on a journey, sort of checking us out. And they came up to us after and they said, we're actually committing to Horizon Church being our home, and we're here to serve. Where can we help? And I said, fantastic. What can you do? And the lady said to me, she says, I'm a keys player. And she said, my friend who's been coming is a worship leader. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 92 verses 12 to 15, have a look at this in the Amplified Version. The righteous, who's the righteous? You're the righteous. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You're righteous. Do you know what righteousness means? It's judicial approval in the eyes of God. That's good news. The righteous will flourish like a date palm, long-lived, upright and useful. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. I love seeing that. I love seeing it. I've seen it for 20 years in the life of this church, people prospering and flourishing, even in old age. It's amazing. Isn't it beautiful to be part of a multi-generational church where you actually get to see this in action? It's powerful. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and contentment. They are living memorials to declare that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You know, being planted is one thing. Seeing others planted is a whole new wave of joy. And we've had the privilege of seeing that at Horizon Perth. People coming and actually choosing to be planted in the house of God, seeing their gifts unleashed, seeing them connect and find community, seeing them connect with a God who loves them and cares for them, and all at different stages. Some are new Christians, some are mature Christians, others are somewhere in between, but they're planted. And the position in a place where they can flourish and grow and still bear fruit in old age, keeping their eyes on Jesus. Do you know someone who's done the most phenomenal job? I don't know if she's here this morning, but Tori has done an incredible job at seeing our, some young adults actually included, planted in the life of Horizon Perth. And I see the way she does it. She's just so good at it. And so, Tori, if you're watching this morning, I want to honour you. You're doing an amazing job with our young adults. Can we honour Tori this morning? She's an incredible leader. She's an incredible leader, and she's growing. And I just can't wait to see what God does in that space. So two things I'm learning and I'm rediscovering. I want to keep on learning. We have a gospel to spread. It is powerful, and you can start tomorrow, or you can start today. You can start in your workplace. You can start with the random stranger who comes and talks to you at the gym. We have a gospel to spread. And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. And Jesus is building his church, and he loves his church. He loves his bride. Might get the keys up. That'd be great. You know, Jesus shared a story in the Gospels. And the words aren't going to be up on the screen for this particular passage, but I actually want you to, as I'm reading, get a mental picture of what Jesus is actually saying and who he's talking about. Because he actually describes the heart of his Father. I don't know what your view of God is. Maybe you've had church experience before. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you don't have a reference point at all that helps you understand the heart of God. But the most accurate reference point, the most precise reference point that shows us the heart of God was described by Jesus himself. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose. Came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. You know, Jesus is telling this story, and it's a Jewish context. Back in those days, they used to wear robes. And for a Jewish man to run, who was over 30, was actually an undignified act. Men over 30 in Israel didn't run. But when God is described in this verse, he lifts up his robe and he runs when he sees the son coming back to the father's house. He runs, and the Bible says he falls on his neck and kisses him. The word kiss there is in the present continuous tense. That means he didn't just kiss him once. He kept kissing him. The son was dirty. The son was hungry. The son was dead, but he was coming home. And no matter how dirty and how dead the son was, guess what the father did? He wraps his arms around him and he kisses him and he kisses him and he kisses him and he accepts him back as a son. I don't know who you are this morning, but honestly, if you fit that description and it's been a while since you've been to the father's house and you want to come back in your heart, the Father has already seen you from a long way off and he's running towards you. And so this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed all across this place, if you are that person and you are deciding in your heart to turn back, maybe it's been a while. Maybe you've had a taste of what the world is like and it has not satisfied you. Maybe you do feel impoverished on the inside and dirty on the outside. But the good news is you have a father who loves you, who will run to you, who's been waiting for you, and who'll embrace you and kiss you repeatedly, time and time and time again. He's not going to welcome you back as a hired servant. He's going to welcome you back as his daughter, as his son. Because he loves you. If that's you, all across this place, in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. And there's nothing magic about that prayer, but what that prayer is a reflection and a response of what's happening on the inside of you right now. And if you're watching online, you're going to join in this prayer. And if you're watching online and this is resonating with you, it's speaking to you, write to us in the chat. And if you're watching this at another time, email us. But if that's you, and you say, you know what? I've tasted what the world can give, and it's left me empty, it's left me dry. I'm coming back to where I know I need to be, and that's the Father's house. With every head bowed and every eyes closed all across this place, if that's you this morning, I want you to give me a wave after three. One, two, three. Give me a wave this morning. Yep, thanks. I see your hand. Great decision. Well done. Is there anybody else who wants to join this brave young lady? Yep, thanks, mate. I see your hand. It's a very courageous and brave decision. The Father loves you. And I truly believe He's wrapping His arms around you. You're His son. Is anybody else this morning who wants to come home to the Father's house? He'll embrace you and He'll affirm you as His own. Who's going to join these two people? I'm just going to give this a couple more moments and then we'll bring our meeting to a close very shortly. Is there anybody else? All right, why don't you all repeat this prayer after me, and especially those who raised your hands, pray this to God. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God who came to earth and died for me, and on the third day, You rose again. I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, and my friend. I'm coming home as Your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for all that You have done and for all that You are doing. Lord, I thank You for Your people. I thank You for courage to share the gospel, for boldness, Lord. And for those watching online, Father, I pray that You would give them courage and boldness and conviction, Lord, to spread the good news. Father, we thank You that we have the privilege of being planted in Your house, growing and flourishing. And we give You all the praise and we give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you heaps, church. Great to see you all again.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.